Is daf chav gimel. So we got around 8 lines down or so. Aseve, you have been talking about the inyan of being mevatel berov. We have been talking in particular about bittel when it comes to the mayim tameim, the mayim tahorim. So the Gemara says now aseve. Aseve is the first word on the line. The Gemara says aseve, efer kasha. Let's you have efer kasha. Rashi says we're talking about efer kasha shel paraduma. So you have the dirt, the ashes of the paraduma, and then you have that mixed together, shinis ari, but efer mikla gets mixed together with just regular stam efer. So then what's halacha? Holchin acharov latame. You go based on the rov, depending on which is the majority, whether it's the efer para versus the efer mikla, whichever one's the majority is going to dictate whether there's tumah. What tumah are we referring to? Rashi explains here that latame is a nogeya but to be matame, one who touches this mound of dirt. It says kidichsva nogeya b'me'anida yitame, the one who touches the me'anida, he's going to become tame. The pasuk tells us in Parshas Chukas. So if most of this afar, and most of this efer is efer of paraduma, so then a person is going to become tame. But if most of it's going to be efer mikla, just stam efer, so then the person won't be tame. So Gemara says again, holchen acharov latame. The ruba efer miklahu lo metame. Now, if most of it's going to be efer mikla, most of it's going to be just regular ashes, so then the din is not going to become tame. Now, the amr, if you're going to say tuma kiman de isadami, if you're going to say when tuma gets to mix together, so it's still there, it's still present there. We'll see Rashi in a second how he explains that, but it's still present. Nihi de bimaga lo metame. Granted, it's not tame in terms of maga, because when he touches it, most likely he's touching an area that's Afer Mikla. That's Stam Afer and not Afer Paraduma. That's when he touched it. Any given place he touches, Rove, he probably touched Afer Mikla. However, Tame Bimasa, he should still be Tame in terms of carrying it because the Afer Parah is still there in the mound. Granted, it's not Rove, but it's still present. We still acknowledge it as being there, so he is carrying it even though he's not touching it. Look at Rashi, how Rashi says, V'amrit, if you're going to say, Tuma ha-mispatelis barov lo batle lagamre. That which gets mixed with the rov, granted there's rov and there's meat, but the meat isn't as if there isn't there at all. Ela kaman de'isadam. It's still as if it's present. Dimishkacha tuma acharisa misarefes b'hadei. If that meat of tuma could find some partner, min b'mino, it's going to rehabilitate it and it will be something that's present. So we never say bitul barov as if the meat isn't there. It's there. You just may not be touching it, but still tumas ma. So that's the question the Gemara says. How come when we say we go based on the Rov, and if Rov is Afer Mikla, there's no Tumah? The Gemara says there should be no Tumas Maga, but there should be Tumas Masa because it's still present. So the Gemara answers, Ha Itmar La, it was said on this, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Tahor Mitame Bimaga, Ava Mitame Bimasa. So the Enechanami, that's what it means. When the Braisa says that there's no Tumah, if there's most of it's Afer Mikla, that means there's no Tumas Maga, but Ein Hachanami, there is going to be Tumas Masa. So Gemara then says, "V'hamar Rav Chista Nevela." So there's a bit of a girsa issue here, but he says, "Amar Rav Chista Nevela Betela Bishchuta." Let's say you have Nevela mixed together with that which is shechted. She'i Eshar LeNevela She'teasei Shchuta. That's our girsa in front of us. Rashi's girsa really should be Shchita She'teasei Nevela. Shchita can become a Nevela. Once you shech something properly, it can't be a Nevela. Or once one thing's a Nevela, can't be a Shchita. But either way, the end up being that there's not a question of min b'mino, it's min b'she'eino mino. Fine. So Gemara says that what's the din here? So nihi she d'bimaga l'matame l'tame b'masa. So the din is that even though there's no tumas maga, in this case it should be at least tumas masa. So just look at Rashi here. Rashi says b'teila b'shchita. Chaticha nevela, chatichas nevela, shinis arva b'shtei chatichas shchutas. Let's say you have one piece of nevela, and they're two kosher shechted pieces of meat. Badla nevela barov milatame. We go based on rov, and since two of them are kosher, so we say rov is wins. The min b'sheinu mino batel v'hai min b'sheinu minu. Nevela is one min, shchut is another min. Min b'sheinu mino, we say go based on the rov. So now the Gemara says, "Beinacham, you go based on the rov." So granted, in terms of maga, you touch just one of them. We assume it's rov. We assume it's shchuta. But if you carry all of them, so then there should be an assumption that you're still being masa the nevela that's there. It should be tumas masa at least. So the Gemara answers, "Amar le atun b'derav chista masnisa la on b'derav chia masnisa la." So what's the difference? Who is authoring this? So the din is it was the nature of when Amora Rav Chista was an Amora. And the nature of an Amora is to always explain what he meant. He wasn't very cryptic. The Amorim were very explicit what they meant. the Tanaim, such as Rabbi Chiya, they were very cryptic because remember they had to memorize things. So they were very terse, and there were certain things that were not fully spoken out. So you can reinterpret this if it's a Rav Chisda statement that said Nevela b'shchut is batel and there's no tumah at all. So then he means what he says: there's no tumah at all, and that's a good kasha. Why is there no tumah's masa? But once you establish a Rabbi Chiya, who's a Tana, authored this brisa, then you can say when he said not tumah, we could say it means not tumah's maga, but there is tumah's masa, and therefore for us we could reinterpret this. Gemara now says. Again, Anan b'di Rabbi Chiya masnisala, the Tani Rabbi Chiya, nevelo shchuta b'telas zubazu, that they're min b'shein amino, they can mevato each other, whichever is the rov. Vitmarla, and it was said on this, there was a comment on qualifying the statement of Rabbi Chiya, Am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, tower, what it means, that's tower, when it's bit the barov by nevela and shchuta, means tar, milatame b'maga, about matame b'masa. So that only can make sense if you teach Rabbi Chiya as the author of the Braisa, because again, you can reinterpret and qualify statements of Tanaim because they were not always so clear and explicit. So then the Gemara asks another question. It's not our Mishnah in this parak here that told us yesterday's daf that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer beimagasa sheshafa chararas dam harezo tikaver v'niftar min habachora. We said if a cow, a mother, the firstborn she had, it was a charara, a amount of blood came out of her, and we said we have to assume there was a vlad that was disintegrated in the blood, so you have to bury it because there's a shema, it was a zachar, and it's a bechor, and any further offspring we assume is certainly not a bechor. The Tana Rabbi Chiya taught on this Mishnah, Ein matame lo b'magav lo b'masa, amai, why not? Nihi d'b'magav lo matame, titame b'masa. So granted, if there's a chararas dam that came out, so most of it's blood and only a mid of it's vlad. So if you touch it, we assume you're touching the blood, which is in nevela, and you're not touching the part that's a vlad. So that's rov. But in terms of masa, when you carry it, there should be tumas masa because the vlad is somewhere, the nevela, the bechor, is somewhere in the blood, so there should be at least tumas masa. Ishtik, he didn't answer. There's no response to this. So the Gemara suggests maybe dilma shiny hacha dehabile tumas rucha. Maybe this case is different, that because since the vlad is so disintegrated, it's so, I don't know, spoiled, it's not a vlad at all, it's much worse than just a stam neveh, it's not just a dead animal, it's srucha, it's ruined, so in that case, there's no tumah. There's a certain point where certain items get so disformed, where it's no longer considered that item, and there's no tumah anymore. So maybe when the vlad is in the charas dam, it's not there anymore, and that's why there's no tumas masa either. So Gemara says, Hanicha, that makes sense when you say that you suggest that the Nevela becomes Tumas Rucha. That's very relevant. Leparpada, the Parpada Adamar Tuma Chamura Al Lager, the Tuma Kala Al Kelef. So how ruined or disgusted does an item have to be where there's no longer Tuma? So if it's a Tuma Chamura, Tuma Chamura, Rashi explains it whenever it's Tumas Masa. Tumas Masa, that's a more severe type of Tumah. So Tumah Chamura, it's always Tameh until it becomes Pasal Al-Lager, which is a lower threshold. Meaning, even though the dog might eat it, if a ger won't eat the Nevela anymore, so then that's already disqualified, that's Srucha, there's no Tumah. When it comes to Tumah Kala, a low-level Tumah, so then it has to be disqualified for a dog, that even a dog won't eat it. So since we're talking about Tumah Chamura here, Nevela is Tumas Masa. So it's Tumah Chamura, Halo Chaji Lager. No ger would ever eat the Nevela, or a goy you're referring to, would never eat a Nevela of that's in Chararas Dam. So that's Tumas Srucha, and therefore, since it's Srucha, no, it's not Tumas Nevela anymore. So that would make sense, and therefore there's no Tumas Masa. But that's only if a Tumah Chamura, the threshold is Al Lager. That makes sense for Barpada. El Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar, he says no. Achazu v'achazu al kelev. Whether it's a tumah chamura or a tumah kala, the threshold in which we say it's no longer considered tameh, how srucha does it have to be? Al kelev, until a dog won't eat it. But if a dog will eat it, it will still remain tameh. So hachazu l'kelev. A dog will eat this dam acharas dam, and therefore, even though we wouldn't eat it, or no ger or goy would eat this, so then it would still be considered tameh, and there should be tumas masa. So Gemara says, Kasha, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, how he would read through this braisa, but according to Barpada, everything works nicely.
On the case of the three Tatufot Masa, do we say that automatically it's tougher the Maga, or do we say if he actually touches the three of them, that it would also be like Masa? Meaning is it Maga? Because if you have three Tatufot Masa, that are one next to you, if you touch, you're touching the three at the same time or one after the other, for sure you're touching one of them that is that
correct.
Is
so this is, I didn't look at this, but there is a similar conversation when it comes to Isurim, when it comes to eating it, as opposed to touching it. By eating it, there's a machlokim between the Rajba and the Rush about when the Gemara says if one piece of nevela gets mixed with two shchutas, so you're allowed to eat it because it's rof. But let's say you want to eat, could you eat all three? Could you eat all three together? So the Rush is a famous statement that when you say rov, nepachas isalios beheter, that it mamish turns in, changes physically, that it becomes mutter, which means you could eat all three bevas achas, even though you know vadai, one of them is nevela.
You can eat them, but the masa, you're still tongue.
Exactly. So I didn't look into this in terms of din, but yeah. Hmm? But it would be a stira, though, to have. So, I mean, again, there are situations where we could separate halachas of tumah and isra. So, the case I gave you, we're talking about kosher meat. There's no tumah by kosher meat. There is actually, because nevela. So, I'll give another example where tumah and isurim can be separate. So, in this case, we're suggesting for the rush, you eat all three bevas achas, and there's no isra, but it sounds like you would still get a tumah. So there's a issue when it comes to Nida. When it comes to Isha Nida, there are two relevant factors. There's the Isra Labal, she's Asr, Isra Heter, and also the Tuma Labal. There's Tuma, the woman whose Nida is Metame. So Metame the Boel, and there's the Isra to be with the Isha. So is there ever a difference? So Rav Yosef Engel has a long discussion in Asr and Deraisa. So there's a famous Tosos in Baba Kama and Dafir Aleph by Svek Sveka. What happens if the Svek Sveka of an Isha? So we know by Svek Sveka, by Yisurim, we are Mekel. We're Mekel. Safek, their eyes is a Chumar, but Svek Sveka, we're Mekel. So Svek Sveka, one could be with the wife. There's no Isser. But Lagabe Tumah, we have a Klal. Safek Tumah Bereshus HaYachad is Tameh. Safek Tumah Bereshus HaRabim is Tahor. So certainly it's a case of Bereshus HaYachad, a husband and wife. But even a Svek Sveka is Tameh Bereshus HaYachad. So you can have a Svek Sveka where he's Mutter to be with the wife, but he'll become Tameh nonetheless. So this might be a similar case of an Isser. Exactly. Okay, the Gemara says now we are two lines down, Gufa. The Gemara quotes from what we said above, Bar Pada Amar Tuma Chamura Ad Leger, the Tuma Kala Ad Lekelef. And Rabbi Yochanan says again, Amar Achazu V'Achazu Ad Lekelef. So Mai Tamai De Bar Pada. Why did Bar Pada say the threshold for Tuma Chamura to be disqualified is a Ger, which is a lower threshold than what's needed by Tuma Kala? So he says it's a Gzer Sarkasa. The Pasuk tells us, Dichsiv lo sochlu kol nevela lager. Don't eat a nevela tager. What that means is, Haru'uya lager kruya nevela. Vishenu'uya lager ain't a kruya nevela. That which is edible by a person. So that, even though it's talking about ger, we know there are two gerim in the Pasuk, just to be clear. There's a ger tzedek and there's a ger toshev. A ger tzedek is a person, what we call a ger normally, a one who converted. A ger toshev is a guy, but he took upon himself the sheva mitzvah b'nei Noach, according to some Rishonim, or he just took upon himself not to do avodah zarah. But he took some kabbalah. He's still a guy, but he's just keeping all the mitzvahs that he's supposed to keep as a guy. So that we call a ger in this context here. So we say here, if it's a ruy l'ger, if it's a ruy l'ger toshev, he would eat it. So then that has a shachaloshem nevela. But when it's not ruy l'ger, if a ger toshev wouldn't eat this, so then ain't a kru nevela, and it would be tumah sucha and no tumah at all. So that's a gzer sakasa bar padinosis. So what does Rabbi Yochanan do with the pasuk? Rabbi Yochanan says no. Even by tumah chamura, it's ala kelef. So what's the drasha of lo sochlu kol nevela lager? The idach he says. Rabbi Yochanan responds back. Lemute hecha disricha meikara. That which had from the inception, it became already. It was very tumah sucha over the moment it was created in the world. So even there, Rabbi Yochanan will say he would acknowledge that there's no tumah. But something that was some edible. And become Tameh, you need to, Tumah Sucha is a much stronger Tumah Sucha, you need to go to Ad Kelev. But that which was created already, Sucha Meikara, so that if it's not edible for the Ger, so then that's where Rabbi Yochanan would agree that there wouldn't be Tumah either. Rashi just explains what a case is here. Rashi, four lines down from the top of the page, he says, Sucha Meikara, Kagon, Shinishbru Evareha, where the bones of the animal was broken, were broken, Mechaim, the moment it was came to life, Ve'lian began to rot and decay and stuff, that was Tumas Rucha, no one would eat such an animal, so that's where Rabbi Yochanan would agree, if it's Pasul Ger, it would be, wouldn't be Tameh. But again, that which is Kasha, which is edible, Meikara, and then Sucha, you need to bring it down to a level where even a dog wouldn't eat it. Ve'idach, So then, how did Barpada know that which is Tumas Sricha Meikara is also not Tame? Says Sricha Meikara Lo Sricha Kra. You don't need a pasuk. That's Lamute to exclude it. Afra Baalmahu. If an animal of Vlad came into existence already considered Sricha, that's Afra Baalma, and there's no need for a pasuk to tell me that that isn't an Avela. That was an obvious point. That's Misvara, how we know it's inedible and not Tame. Mara quotes from the Mishnah, Tanan, Mishnah we had 2 days ago, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Omer, Behema Gasa Sheshafa Chararas Dam, Harezo Tukaver, Veniftara Minabachor. Fine, we know this Mishnah quite well now. But Tani Rabbi Chir comments, Eidem Atami lo b'magavil b'masa. It's not Tami touch, it's not Tami in terms of carrying. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, why, what's the reason why there's no Tumas Masa here? Mishim Bittel Barov Naguba. Because the bittel, all the blood that's there, it overwhelms the vlad, that's nimuach, and therefore, bittel barov, there's no tumas maga, no tumas masa. So Gemara says, well, how come you have to say it's because of bittel barov? Ma yirya, mishum bittel barov. Didn't we just say before that which is srucha meikara is not considered nevela? This animal was born as a vlad with chararas dam, that's certainly srucha meikara. Forget bittel barov, it's srucha meikara. So Gemara says, no, because it wasn't srucha meikara. Ha nami is chaze meikara agav imo. This vlad actually was edible initially before it was born. When this vlad was in the womb of the cow, the mother here, so if you shechted the mother cow, you could have eaten the vlad as well. So it was is chaze agav imo. Granted, when it came into the world physically, when it was born, it wasn't roy anymore, but it was is chaze meikara. And that's why we have to say, why is it not Tamei Tumas Masa? Because Bita Barov, and not because Lois Chazikal, not because of Hisricha Meikar. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Tanan Hass in the Mishnah Machshirin, teaches us in Perek Vav, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Tzir Tahor. We learned about the brine of the fish juices on yesterday's daf. If it was mixed with water and you bought from a Amharit, and Rashi explained it's a situation where you already were mashik it, you were matahir. So you have tzir, which is mixed water with it. We assume it's tameh because it came from an Amharit. You did hashaka into the mikvah, so now your tzir is all permitted. It's all tahor now. Let's say nafal atocha mayim kolshu tameh. But let's say a little bit of water is added to the tzir, so now it's going to become tameh. Why does the added water change anything? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Zos Ameris, this is teaching us, Nech Shadu, Amei Aretz, La'ariv Mechza, Mayim B'tzir. There, we have an understanding that Amei Aretz are known to dilute their tzir. You know, they want to make more money. So the product is a tzir, but they want to add some water. Water's free. So then they add half of it as water, half and half, 50-50. So they sell 50-50. That's what they sell. But with the moment, a little bit of water adds, so you tip the scale, now becomes 51% water, 49% tzir, and that rehabilitates the tumah, the mayim tamei that's there, and makes it tamei. So if you want to buy tzir from Amaret, make sure not to mix it with any other water.
I think we said yesterday that doesn't work, that only goes, that we say about the raw, the minimum, you know, when it's flip tamei, but not the tahir. When you add tumah, when you add tahara.
Maybe it has to be water that's tamei, maybe. Made tummy
right,
water,
so
yeah.
Opposite,
yeah.
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 Said that
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This,
yeah. Yeah. Does anyone make that comment? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shenafal atocha mayim kol shu tame, around halfway down the line. Kin mefarish nech shedu am haaretz la'ari mechza mayim b'tziram. Fine. Now, in this comment, the one who holds water which is batel cannot be reawakened anymore. You have to mokila shenaflu bo la'achar hashaka me'am ha'aretz kolshu. Me'am ha'aretz, which means tuma water, in order to reawaken it, just like what you had said. So then the Gemara says, wait a second, v'lamali mechza, why do you have to have half and half? Afilu b'tzir, even afilu b'tzir mechza nami, hani mashu havale palgo palgo labato. Let's say the tzir is 51% and the mayim is 49%. So that would also have the same outcome, because if you pour a small amount of water in it, that's going to even the scales, and we know mechza isn't batel either. Only time there's batel if there's 49% or lower of a mir. But to bring it to a 50-50, that also, it's a stalemate, and it's 50-50, that also wouldn't be batel. So why dafka 50-50 to start with and move to 51%? Maybe 51-49 to make it 50-50 would also be a case of no bittel. The Gemara says, you're right. Ema ad mechsa. We're going to tweak the words and say ad mechsa, which means right before. If there's 49%, the Am Haaretz put right under 49% of water, they put in the tzir. And when you add a little bit more water, kolshu, it makes it even, and ein echanami, that would be a case. Or ebayis ema, alternatively, the Gemara suggests it really meant 50-50. Ah, so how come it couldn't be a case of 51-49 to start with, and adding the water to make it 50-50? Because tumas am haaretz is their bottom. Mid deraisa, there's no such thing as tumas am haaretz. If the am haaretz is a zav, so then that's a zav deraisa. But we don't know he's a zav. So to create a tumas am haaretz, and every am haaretz, every guy who doesn't know halachi becomes tamei, that's not the case. That's only a tumah mid derabanan. And then tumah mashkin also derabanan. That which the fact that the water becomes tamei is also only tamei mid derabanan. So therefore, since it's two derabanans here, uberuba gazirabanan, so they were gozer by a rov. When there's a case of when rov of the water's there, so then there goes there, okay, tuma derabanan. But palgo palgo, when it was 50-50, when it became a case 50 water and 50 tzir, lo gazabe rabanan. So therefore, if you had a case that started off with that 51% was tzir and 49% was water, and you added water to make it 50-50 each, there, chacham were not gozer. It was only when there's 51% water where they gozer this tumas am aretz on tumas mashkin dirabanan. Okay, Gemara, now the new Mishnah tells us here in Chav Ge'imel Merbez, from Shimon Gamliel Omer, Halokech Behema Menik. Let's say you buy an animal that's nursing, min ha'ovei kochavim, from a goy. So we don't trust the goy whether he tells you it has a vlad and doesn't have a vlad. Ein choshish in shema b'noshal acheres haya. We're not concerned that this nursing cow is nursing some other animal's calf. We assume it's her own calf. Rashi explained, "Ein choshish in shema bna shalcheres haya shehi haba achrav." To tell me the one afterwards is really b'chor safek. You have the mother cow is nursing a calf, so don't say this calf is probably some other cow's, and she never had a b'chor before. So maybe she was one of the miutim that were able to nurse, even though it never gave birth before. We don't say that. The name Ahach Behema Lo Yaldamil, and say that this mother cow that's nursing is never had a calf in its life. Elisha Avazu as Ben Chaverta, she just fell, you know, she had a tremendous amount of love for some other of her friend's calf or something. So then, and Vimishim asked, how come she nurses if she never gave birth before? Imishim Diyesh Lachalava Ha'ikam Yuta Dechovos, because there is a minority of cows that do nurse even though they don't have any calves yet. Avagav Shina Yoldos, even though they haven't given birth yet. Havade Lomrin, we certainly don't say this. Elavade Benahu Upturmin Bechora. We assume that the calf that is being nursed by the mother is certainly its calf, and any further offspring is Vadai Patrimin Bechora. That's the first case of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says that, again, Nazar Mishnah Gamliel Omer, Halokech Behema Minikam and Ovid Kochavim, Ein Choshish and Shema Benashel Echaris Haya. Nichnas Atoch Eder, let's say you go into the Eder, you go into the pen, and you see different cows, raw as a Mavachiros, Manikos, Vashena Mavkiros, Manikos. You see those animals which are Mavkiros already, which already had a Bechor. They already had a stamp, like a little tag saying, this animal has given birth before. It's nursing. And you see other animals which have signs on it that say it's not mafkiris, let's say, that this animal has never given birth before. But they're both nursing. So you don't say, Ein choshish in shema b'na shozo ba'lo etozo, o shema b'na shozo ba'lo etozo. We don't assume that the calves switch to different mothers. That doesn't happen. So what this means is, Rashi says, Ein choshish in shema b'na shozo ba'lo etozo, that means every single calf, there's a chashash, and maybe this isn't its own calf. Don't say that. Those calves which are now nursing from a particular mother, cows, we assume those are b'chores v'adayim. What happens are there, so you know the animals, it's your farm. And I know that these animals I tagged as never giving birth before. And these animals I tagged as giving birth before. I come in a week later and everyone gave birth to calves. I didn't see the birth, let's say. So I don't know which calf goes to which mother. So it's fair to assume that the calf, whatever cow the calf is nursing from, that's its mother. And therefore, even though I didn't see this calf being born to the mother, I assume it was born to the mother, and it was Ein Mafkiro's mother, in which case this animal is Bechor. And that animal which is nursing from a cow that's already Mafkiro's, already had its Bechor, we assume it's certainly a Pashut, and you could treat it as a Chulin animal. So this is what the Mishnah tells us. So Gemara now says that the Gemara is going to now, the remainder of the Gemara is going to go through just a bit of an overview of the Perek here, had a Paskin Shaila, had a Paskin L'Halacha based on these Mishnayos. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Mishmei Derava Hilchas Bekulei Pirkin Bar Mipluksa. The entire parak here, every Mishnah that we learn, we paskin this way, unless there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, in which case we don't paskin. We're not paskin like that. We're not being told how to paskin at least. But if it's just a stam Mishnah, or even just one opinion in the Mishnah, then we certainly paskin like that Mishnah. So Amar Rav Sheshe says, Amina Kinai Veshachiv Rav Amar Lahashmaisa. Rav Sheshe thought when Rav made this statement, he must have been sleeping when he said the statement, because it doesn't make any sense. Why? Hey, which statement do you have to tell me that we pass like this Mishnah? Elaim, if you want to tell me, Aresha, the very first Mishnah of the Perek, which was the situation about the different ages of the goat, a year old, and the cow, 3 years old, and the sheep, 2 years old, all those different ages. If it was born, if it was under that age, you assume it. This will be Bechor. If it's after the age, we assume it already had its Bechor. If he's going back on that Mishnah, so you don't need to make the klal, because Miflik Pligi, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva. We have a chlokus in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Kiva, about the different ages, whether Vlad Mamish, or whether it was even the Shilya. So that's a machlokas. We already know that can be what he's telling us how to paskin. So that's a machlokas. We don't paskin like machlokas is in the Mishnah. So again, which case is Rav saying is a Mishnah that we do paskin like? So Ella, Adri Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. If you're telling me the statement of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which is about when the Behema was Mapila Chatichas Dam, so then also we don't need Rav to tell me we paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, because we have a Yesod, a principle. Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Kav Venoki. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov was very unique in that he was able to say a very short statement, but yet it's always such a clear, crystal statement, and we always paskin like him. So we don't need Rav to tell me we paskin like that Mishnah. So which Mishnah is he telling us we have to paskin like? Ella, it must be Adi Rabban Shimon Gamliel, which is the case of this Mishnah here on Daf Chav Gimel Mabez, but that can't be the case because Miflag Palik Baraisa. There's a Baraisa that we're going to learn on tomorrow's Daf that argues on Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, which means that we don't paskin like this Mishnah. So still, which Mishnah are we saying we do paskin like? Ella Adi Yosi Ben Shimon. This is a Mishnah on tomorrow's Daf, whatever the case is talking about, that pulling off hairs from the Bechor, you have to pull the animal's hair off in the Makom the Shechita, even though normally you can't do gozes, you can't do shearing on the Bechor. If it's going to allow you to do Shechita properly, you're allowed to pull it off. So if that's the Mishnah he's saying, we pass like that din of Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam, Ha'amar Rav Chadazimna. We already know another statement in the name of Rav, that Amar Rav, Hilchasa Rabbi Yossi ben Mishulam. So now he's repeating the statement that we pass like that Mishnah. Ella, it must be Asar Balmum, another Mishnah on Daf Chav Hei, which is talking about the din of a hair on a Bechor Balmum that fell off, certain din related to that. The Gemara says we can't pass it in that way because Miflag Pligi Akavya Ben Mahalal Rabbanan. There's a Machlokas in the Mishnah. We don't pass it like a Mishnah that has a Machlokas in this very parak. So which Mishnah is he telling us that we pass it like that we wouldn't know otherwise had not been for this statement? So Gemara says, Li'olam really is referring to our Mishnah here in Daf Chav Gimel, the Rabban Shimon Gamliel. V'hak mashmalan, the Braisa lo pluksi. Even though there's a Braisa that argues on the Mishnah, since that Mishnah does not, our Mishnah doesn't present the Machlokas, we don't view this as a Machlokas, and that's why he's telling us that when it comes to Machlokas, it's only a Machlokas that's in the Mishnah, that we say not to paskin like, but if the Mishnah has a Machlokas in a Braisa, that we could ignore the Braisa and we paskin like that Mishnah. That's the case. So now the Gemara said, now that Rav established, we pass like every single Mishnah in the parak here, unless there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. So halacha, Rabbi Yossi ben Hamashulam Lomli. So then that would also include the Mishnah on tomorrow's daf, that Rabbi Yossi ben Hamashulam says you could pull the hair out where the Makom Neshchita is of the Bechor. So once that's a Mishnah in our parak, that doesn't have a machlokas. So why does Rav have to have a second statement and say, oh, we also passing like Rabbi Yossi ben Hamashulam? Wasn't that already implied by his statement of we pass like every Mishnah in the parak unless there's a machlokas? So the Gemara says, no, you need both statements. Because I Amar, have we only said the Mishnah, the din rather, Rav's din, Hilchasa Dechuli Pirkun, like all the Mishnayos, except when it's Machlokas, Velo Amar had not said Hilchasa Krab Yossi Ben Mishulam. So then Havamin, I would have thought, when Rav said a statement about all the Mishnayos, Chutz Miyapluksa, I would have thought that's referring to either Rav Yossi Ben Mishulam Kai, that Mishnah about removing the hair. Umay Bechulu Pirkin, Rabbi Yossi, Tarti Amra, there are taka two statements of Yossi. All the Pirkin means two different statements he had. We're going to learn tomorrow's daf. That's what he meant, Kula Pirkin. And then, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel on Daf Chav Gimel, our Mishnah today, I would have thought you shouldn't pass like that, and we would have assumed Pluksu, the Brisa, Pluksu. When there's Machlokas and the Brisa between the Mishnah, we do acknowledge it as a Brisa, and we therefore don't pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So therefore, you have to tell me Lashmina and Halacha Rabbi Yosi Ben Mishulam, and Lashmina as well, the other Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as well, Kai, Upluksu the Brisa, La Pluksu. And by teaching these two statements, we're learning that we don't acknowledge the Machlokas that exist in the Brisa, and not only do we pass like Rabbi Yosi Ben Mishulam, but we also pass like Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. We'll stop here and everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.
Where did the